Saint Augustine once said that the spirit is closer to me than I am to myself. The Spirit of God is closer to me than I am to myself. The Spirit knows you. The Spirit of God knows you. He draws near to you. That's where I want to start this morning. It's important to know yourself, right? Maybe you, like so many and so many others, have done some of those assessments, those self-evaluations, using tools and sorters and various things to help you figure out who you are, how you think, how you act, how you respond, how you behave, right? I can tell you that on the Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENFP. And if you know what that means, you might know what that means. And if you don't, that's okay. I'm an Enneagram 2. On the DISC profile, I'm an IS. Do you know yourself? Do you know who you are? Do you know how you think? Do you know how you respond in settings and what you need to recharge and rejuvenate yourself? Do you know who you are? My daughter, Emery, just recently took an aptitude test at school as they're trying to figure out and help her. What do you want to be when you grow up? It stressed her out. I don't know. The Spirit of God is closer to you than you are yourself. And yet, you are not the Spirit of God. The Spirit is external to you, even though he draws close. Today, as Jesus is beginning his ministry, the first words we have from Jesus in the Gospel of Mark tell us the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus tells us. Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of God throughout his ministry. And most of the time it's through metaphor or stories. The kingdom of God is like. In fact, this is the time that Jesus tells us something without a metaphor. The kingdom of God is near. It's at hand. It's here. The kingdom of God draws close. That's the good news of Jesus. It's closer even than you are to yourself. The first words from Jesus are all about Jesus, because the good news of Jesus is that the Spirit that comes, the kingdom that comes, the good news of God that comes, it is so near to you, but it is not you. Amen? I am not Jesus. You are not Jesus. This is decidedly good news, right? That he is external to us, right? Theologians make a big deal in the creation story that the world, the universe, all of it was created from nothing. That everything that we see, everything we experience in this world, every substance, every matter, every molecule came from nothing. That from nothing God created. And the same is true for you. And for me, that the good news of Jesus is that everything good in you comes from beyond you. It's beyond you. It's Jesus at work in you, because the kingdom of God is at hand. And this kingdom, the victory of Jesus, is so near. It's nearer than you are to yourself. But it's not you. It's not you. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. This past week, I was down in Orlando, a fantastic time to not be here. It was cold here all week, wasn't it? In fact, I was down there, and we were right by Disney World. Now, I'm not an anti-Disney guy, but I don't love crowds anymore. And so I had to go to downtown Disney for lunch one day. I had to. Listen to me talk that way. And so I'm there, and I'm jokingly, I take a picture, and I'm just grumpy in the picture. And then Anna Marie, who's not feeling great today either, sends her messages and says, "It's 14 here, Pastor. Are you sure you really still want to be grumpy there?" Anyway, it was a great week. It was fantastic. I was there with a bunch of NALC pastors, and we were doing a kind of a retreat and a gathering. There was teaching, there was classes, there was all kinds of good stuff, and it was wonderful. And one of the topics that came up over and over and over again, as it does when Lutheran pastors get together, is that one of our calls, one of my calls as a pastor, especially in the Lutheran tradition, is that when I preach, I want to constantly make a good distinction between the law and the gospel. That's what we try to do. What's the law? What's the gospel? What's the distinction? Right? And I think we're going to unpack this a little bit more next week, if I'm not mistaken. But I think that's a good thing. And so the gospel is the good news of Jesus. The law is the stuff that we are called to do. Right? The law is a burden. The gospel is freedom. The law takes note of what we get wrong. The gospel is celebrating what Jesus gets right. Right? In fact, Amy Little, our general secretary for the NALC, shared this thought. It's not about what you've done wrong. It's always about what Christ has done right. Isn't that good news? I don't know about you, but I get a lot of stuff wrong. And the good news of Jesus is that he gets it right. And his rightness is bigger than my wrongness. Your wrongness. I hear that all the time. And so that's the good news. When Jesus says that the kingdom of God draws near, that it's at hand, that it's here, the good news is that Jesus, in all of his goodness, rests upon us. And it's here. And so in this distinction between law and gospel, the law says what you're supposed to do. What do you have to do? That's religion, isn't it? All the list of the things you have to do to stay on the right side, to be good, to be faithful. That's the law. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is there's nothing you can do, right or wrong, that will make Jesus love you more. There's nothing you can do that will make Jesus love you less. That's the good news. And so I share this as a precursor to just this simple question. And so as a preacher, as I enter into kind of study and preparing for my sermons, I'm always looking for, okay, what's the good news? What's the law? The law's not bad. The law is redeemed by Jesus. But it's not the good news. And so I'm always constantly looking about the right distinction between the two. And so today we come to this word, this invitation from Jesus where he says, "Follow me." And the question I always wrestle with this one is that law a command or is that gospel? Is that good news? Follow me. And it depends on the day. Right? Because follow me is a something that's put on you and me. How are we going to respond to this invitation? And yet, following Jesus is the most beautiful good news thing that we can ever imagine, right? So my question for us today is, who do you follow? Who do you follow? You know some people that follow the rules? Are you a rule follower? I think I've shared this before, but my wife, her first week in college, read the entire student handbook. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the 75-page booklet written in 0.8 font with every rule and every regulation and every... I didn't even open it. I don't know many people that even opened it. She read the whole thing because she's a rule follower. She's a rule follower. Are you a rule follower? Do you know the rules? Do you follow them? And so much of your energy, so much of your bandwidth is making sure that you do what's right. Are you a rule follower? There are others that are not rule followers, right? They follow themselves. Rebels. The rules don't apply to me. Sometimes I'm that, I'll be honest with you. Someone that may have an understanding of the rules, but man, rules were made to be broken, my people, right? Right? In today's society, there is so much emphasis, there's so much focus on this reality that I'm trying to live my truth, right? Trying to be true to who I am. This is my truth. Well, you live by your truth and I'll live by my truth. And that's following myself, isn't it? I want to do whatever makes me happy. You know what that is? It's a horrible philosophy of life. That's hedonism. It's awful. It's not a great way to organize society at all. Who do you follow? Who do you follow? The power of Jesus is that his invitation is wrapped up in those two letters, me. Jesus says, follow me. It's about him. He's the reason that we can follow diligently, faithfully, failingly. We can get it wrong at every turn, but when he is the one that we follow, man, that's where life is found. It is caught up in him, in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Following the rules isn't a bad thing, but it's not always very life-giving either. Cristiano Ronaldo, arguably one of the greatest soccer players right now, do you think when he's on the soccer pitch, he follows the rules? No. He plays the game within the rules, but the rules don't define him. Right? If we are meant to live this life just following the law, it sucks the life out of us. And it becomes a millstone around our neck that weighs us down. And yet, if we only follow ourselves, if we believe in anarchy and do whatever you want and your truth and my truth and we'll just, you know, I'll live my life, you live your life. Well, man, that you know what that does? That robs us of the gift of community. That we are in this together. One of the most beautiful things about Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Fayetteville, Georgia, is you all. It's you. The diversity of thought, of skin, of background, of story. It is beautiful. It reflects the kingdom of God. And that we have come together and in some way, in some fashion, as we have declared together, we follow Jesus. We have said that it's not just your way and my way and their way that we're kind of in this individually. No, we are in this together. And we are committed not just to the Lord, but to one another. And that is the beauty, the gift that Jesus creates as he calls his disciples. Have you ever looked at the life of the disciples? Like, they would have been at each other's throats. The different backgrounds and the different ideas and the different thoughts that they came from. And yet they said together, collectively, we follow you, Jesus. You are the one we follow. There is a unifying reality in who Jesus is. Finally, the last point that Jesus makes as he shares this with them is he says, I'll make them fishers for people. And I love this image, right? And we might think, and Chad Bird declared it this way, that maybe this, you know, we often think of this as just a fun play on words because they were fishermen, and so now they're not fishing for people or fish, they're fishing for people, and oh, isn't that cute? Or, you know, if you're in the military, oh, now you're in the Lord's army. Or, you know, if you're, you know, a farmer, oh, now you're harvesting unto the Lord, right? But there's more to the imagery than just the occupation of those that they're calling. You see, the waters throughout Scripture have a specific meaning, just like mountaintops mean, like, close to God in a spiritual awakenedness, right? Water has a meaning to it that has a spiritual depth and a spiritual place. And think about the times when water shows up in Scripture. It's not always very nice, is it? Right? It was water that brought judgment over Pharaoh and his army. It was water, right, that God saved them through, the Israelites through. God delivered them through water. It was water and chaos at the beginning that God came and ordered, right? When water appears in Scripture, right? Psalm 23, I will guide you by still waters, right? Still waters is significant there because normally water is tumultuous. It's rough. It's chaotic. It's judgmental. And so the image that God gives to us through Jesus calling the disciples to be fishers of people is that maybe one of our calls as the disciples of Jesus, as ones who have been caught up in his grace, is to go help others get caught up in his grace too. Have you noticed that this world is hard? Chaotic, challenging, difficult, that people need to be rescued, that people are drowning. I think that's what our calling is into. That we are called to throw out the life raft. To help people. To rescue people. To give them hope in a chaotic, crazy world. And to say, I have found the one. He didn't make all the storms stop. But he's seen me through every one. I think people need that hope, don't they? I think people need to hear that word. And so when we are called to be disciples who are caught up in the glory of following Jesus, our task is to keep our eyes on Christ, but also to keep an eye open, looking for others that are like us, drowning in their midst. Right? It's often said about the communion table, that as we come, we are beggars. And that as we go, our task is to lead breadcrumbs so that others who are hungry might find their way to the table of grace. Who in your life is drowning? Who in your life has their head bobbing just below the surface? Sometimes it feels like it's me. Sometimes it feels like it's you. But the good news of Jesus is that it's not about what we get wrong. It has always been about what Jesus gets right every single time. So let's follow. In the name of Jesus. Amen.